Was that worse or better? I look like a ghost.
You look like you're from a sci-fi dystopian movie right now.
You look absolutely nuts, so just keep it that way.
Yeah, you look like a crazy... Everyone, welcome to another episode of Five Idiots Talking Toys. I'm Shane, and it is Sunday night. It is time for our Collectors Podcast. Thanks very much for joining us. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and comment. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Like the video, share it. If you're listening on your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Apple, Google, please come on over to the YouTube channel as well. You get to see the show. We're going to be sharing some collectibles tonight, I think. And we do have a special guest, as you could probably already see in the title and the description. Let's get started. Let's jump in and see what we're going to talk about. Who's here? Charlie Beansacks is here. Whoa! I should have saved you for last. I didn't know you were going to hit me over the head with that thing.
Yeah, save me for last.
All right. So yeah, what am I doing? Let's start the show over. All right. We're going to bring in Brandon.
So stupid.
That's what this whole show is, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
How are
He's
you
been
doing?
Been growing that for 2 months.
He started in June, at end of June,
well,
I think.
Well, he hasn't been on because his internet sucks, so he's been at home, you know, waxing the whiskers.
Yeah, he's been in Movember since Mo-June.
Yeah.
All right. Lord Walden, are you here? There he is. I still can't believe the Braves didn't go to the series. Like, they were, I feel like they were everybody's pick to, you know, go to the final.
Well, they had the best record in baseball going into the playoffs. And
yeah. They're the best team in baseball, hands down, right now. So that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yep.
Christopher, Chrissy, there he is.
Are you guys ready?
Christopher is about to take a trip to the hospital. Is that hospital. Right?
To go to
you're
sleep?
You're having that baby at home?
Oh, the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely getting that journey ready.
Yep.
Hopefully she doesn't have it in the car like last time.
Huh. Really? You must have told me, and I don't remember.
He's told this story.
Yeah, you must have, yeah. All right, well, let's bring your brother in. He's got a surprise for you guys. You haven't seen it. He's going to share his new collection. It's an upper lip collection.
Yeah.
Charlie Beansacks is here.
I started this on November 2nd, just like
Of last year.
No, we definitely have an episode in October with you starting to grow that. So,
I shaved it.
Remember when he shaved his mustache by mistake?
By mistake.
I don't know how you do that, but
I don't put shaving cream here. I just put it all over here, so I'll never forget.
He was like shaving, and his wife like popped her head in to ask him a question. And the next thing he knew, his mustache was gone. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what happened.
That's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. How you guys doing?
I'm very excited for this special guest. So special.
Sorry.
So I see him in the green room just shaking his head. He's so special.
Our guest is really, really happy to be on too.
All right. Well, we're going to bring him in a second.
Looks like it.
Let me remind everybody that we have our Patreon at patreon.com/5idiotstalkingtoys. We have content that we make just for our patrons that does not make it to YouTube and the podcast app. We have Five Idiots After Dark, which is some adult-only content. NSFW. I think I got that right. So please go on over to Patreon, see what we have going on over there. For those people who support the show, you're going to get early access to our regular content like episodes like you're watching now. You're going to get the first sneak preview peek at collectibles and collections that are coming in and then going up for sale on rogue5toys.com, our sales page. And you will also get episodes of this stupid show that are only for you on Patreon. John Rule of the Action Figure Grader is here. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Man, it is good to be back on with you guys. It's been a little while. And I think that someone needs to get Charles some of those really short shorts, because he looks like Magnum PI to me right now. I mean, he's giving Brandon some competition there with that mustache.
All right, John, I want to get
even
you
growing one.
If I tried to grow a mustache, I mean, it would be terrible. It would look like some kind of little caterpillar on my face. It would look terrible.
I feel like police would be outside your house the moment the whiskers started growing, and you would be arrested.
Not be good look. Not a good look for me.
And if you put that hood up, then we've got like a Unabomber, you know, like a different situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Different situation. So, John, the last time we saw you was in that room that you're sitting in right now, I think. The last time we saw
you. That's right. Yeah, you guys, all of you were here, right? So, yeah, it was it took me about a week to recover from that trip. That was, I didn't even go anywhere, and it took me a week.
I had a good time. You didn't eat, drink, or go anywhere, and it still took you a week.
He was exhausted. Yeah.
I lost a lot of money. I think I spent like $500 on pizza and fries and hamburgers and chicken, and every bit of it was gone. I was very impressed with the appetites.
Shane ate $450 of it.
I so did not. I barely ate anything. I was watching you, animals.
I'm on a diet. I don't want any pizza.
No, John was. John knows. He'll back me up. He was trying to feed me donuts and stuff, and I said, "Nope, not eating donuts. Not eating cake. Nope."
I did have a lot of unhealthy stuff. It was not the healthiest of food options.
Now, if I was at your house this week, different story. You know, would have eaten you out of house.
I mean, I'm not even joking. I just ate three celery stalks, like the size of my forearm, and I'm full. That's all I need. That's all. I'm good. I'm good to go now.
Celery stalks.
I think that's one of the questions for tonight too.
Are you trying to lose weight? What are you trying to do?
No. It's just good for digestion and for, you know, colon blow, you know, it's just really kind of cleans you out, you know.
Don't believe him. He actually eats this every single day. Like, it's every day.
Yeah. Chris eats Taco Bell for colon blow, and it works. it works okay. And it tastes a lot better.
You should speak to John, because he eats no celery, and he is all over the place going to the bathroom.
Wow. This conversation took a downward trend, and I'm to blame. I'm fully to blame for that.
So, John, welcome to our YouTube show. Have you done?
Thank you.
Yes, John. Have you done YouTube before? Have you been on any shows?
Well, I mean, I have my own show, and then obviously I'm on all the time. Chris is on all the time on my channel.
Yeah,
we had a little bit of a technical snafu during our last live stream. It did not go well. The audio was not synced with my stupid face. Chris had an echo. We finally gave up after like 25 minutes and said, let's end it here. So luckily this one's going better.
That's weird. I don't know what trouble you guys had, especially just the two of you.
It was all StreamYard. Definitely StreamYard.
It was terrible. Terrible experience.
Yeah.
It's all StreamYard when it's Chris and John. But when it's me on this side, it's your internet.
It's your computer.
Your laptop's a piece of junk.
He bought a $169 Chromebook, and he wonders why he can't connect to the internet.
$499. It was $499.
All right. Well, many people, probably most people that are watching us right now, are familiar with John Rule's channel, the Action Figure Grader. Of course, the link will be in the description below. So go on over and subscribe to his channel as well if you don't already. He's got a Patreon as well. But we thank you for joining us. Always fun to chat with our friends. Let's jump into the topic, guys. Charles, I think you had the topic for tonight. We wanted to talk about CAS. Maybe a little AFA, but graded figures, where that part of the hobby is at right now. There's been some changes with CAS. There's been changes with AFA, certainly over the past year with what they're accepting, the time frames. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about graded action figures. Obviously, that goes beyond Star Wars, but we're all Star Wars focused here. Who has a question for John to kick it off?
That is correct, Shane. Who better than someone...
Correct.
Has the name Action Figure greater. Right?
Correct.
John's like,
this is going really, really well.
Okay.
Chris, you're best friends with John. What? Ask him a question. What do you want to know about him? What do you want to know about grading?
He just recently started a new YouTube page. Probably hasn't told you guys yet, but it's called Comic Book Grader now.
Oh,
no, it's all about comic books.
Uh-oh. Well,
you know, I mean, you can make fun of me all you want to, all right? But I sneak in the occasional comic book market update, what's going on Comic Link and eBay and Hakes and everything, because my Patreons, a good solid 40% of them are, that's all they want. That's all they watch. That's false. The only thing they watch. False. They could care less about the toys.
Really? Comics? Wow.
Yeah. So I try to appease the masses. That's all I do. This is my latest one. Oh yeah. Mandalorian issue number 3 from season 2. This is the first appearance of Bo-Katan, Axe Woves, and Cosca Reeves in comics. It's just an awesome cover. And I got it for basically $60 shipped. And
now it's worth $20 shipped.
That's a hot cover. That's a hot cover, man. That's a hot
cover. Chris has no idea who any of those characters are.
No, I have no idea what he's
talking about. What's the value of it? What's the value of it?
I mean, like, it's probably $60, right? But the last one he did, this is a Mike Mayhew cover. And the last one he did, which was also issue 3, but a season 1, was The Armorer. And that book was going for $60 or so, right? And that now it's going for $200. It's really held its value, even though the comic market is generally down. So I was like, you know what? This is just a hot cover of Bo-Katan there. I mean, she looks awesome there. So I don't really care if it goes up in value or not. I just had to have it, man. So that's what I got.
John, do you display your comics?
No, I don't. They're all in like big graded kind of like encased chests, you know, to protect them from things and children.
Man boxes.
Really, they're mean looking boxes. They're like plastic with like locks on them and everything. So
the graded market. Obviously, the prices at CAS have risen, right?
Yeah, I mean that was a big surprise, and I'm ashamed to admit that I did not even know it until you and Chris passed that along to me. But I mean, when you're the only game in town for loose grading Star Wars figures or any other loose figure, why would you not? I mean, I guess that's how they looked at it. With AFA not taking loose submissions, why not keep raising the prices until they finally see some drop in volume? And again, I'm only going on what I hear. Who knows if it's true? But you know, some of the owners over at Collector Archive Services, they at least told me privately that they've seen no drop off in submission rates for loose grading, and that's why they keep raising the prices, because their turnaround times have gotten so bad again that they just are trying to kind of get the order submissions for loose grading down. So
yeah,
I think that's what my guess was on a previous episode. Once we heard this news, is how could they not raise the prices? I mean, they'd be bad business people if they didn't. If they're the only grader in the game at the moment and they're swamped with submissions, it was a twofold reason. You know, slow down the submissions, make more money on each submission, and take advantage of, you know, the fact that they're the only ones grading. So,
yeah.
Well, I've also heard anecdotally, you know, who knows if it's true again, but a couple of subscribers stopped at AFA's table at the latest convention, whichever one it was, and they asked them, and they said, hey, are you going to be ever opening back up loose action figure submissions for grading again? And apparently one of the principals at AFA did tell them that it's going to come fairly soon, because they're pretty much worked through their backlog. But I think you can expect when AFA opens back up again, their prices are going to be very similar to CAS. They're going to double their prices versus where they had them before. Because why not? I mean, it's a more intricate process. The turnaround time's longer. The kind of homework that is involved with getting the label right is longer versus a mint on card, which is fairly straightforward, a lot easier to grade. So I would be really surprised if when AFA does come back, that they're not at the same price as CAS, if not higher, would be my guess.
So what does that do to the market?
Well, that's a good question. That's something I've gotten a lot of from subscribers. But I mean, and we've talked offline about it. To me, it seems like it's going to limit the number of submissions, number one, and some of the secondary characters like General Maydeen, probably not going to get loose graded very much, right? You know, some of those figures that have a low margin for these resellers, they're not going to even bother submitting a General Maydeen or a Bespin Guard.
Prune Face.
Prune Face for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Prune
Face.
Half armage.
How dare you?
Pile of crap.
So it's going to be the haves and the have nots. You're going to have like the first 12, you're going to have like some of the big characters, some of the harder to get in high grade characters. And then, you know, the last 17 droids and Ewoks figures, those always sell really, you know, at a pretty big premium relative to what a near mint plus condition one sells that's ungraded, right? So I think those big resellers of loose graded figures are just going to be more discriminant in terms of what they go for, you know, to actually submit to AFA.
Here's my problem with all of this. So loose grading is falling behind. It's taken like 6 months, 4 months, whatever. Mocks, they're pumping mocks out within 30 days. So why in the world do they keep raising the price on the mock? They keep raising the price on loose grading when they've already said that loose grading is way harder and more complicated to do than a mock. You should be lowering the price on the mocks, not keep raising them for everybody and making it higher. So therefore, loose graded figures should be more money than mocks should be. But yet they keep raising the prices on mocks where it's ridiculous now.
Well, they should just keep it the same because the acrylic they use on a mock is a lot more than on a figure. So
it is, but it's the same size acrylic and the same siding for majority of them. They only have to change them for certain cards. When it comes to loose figures, you're working with, like they said, many, many different kinds of cases.
Yeah, of course.
Accessories, all the details and the writing that goes on the label. There's way more work involved. So you know what? Like, maybe kick back to the people and lower the mocks a little bit. Stop raising the price of the mock, because I think it's just $90. Ridiculous.
You want to know?
Yeah,
go ahead, John.
Sorry, I was just I have to echo what Chris said, because like if you start to look at what you know, some of the lower end mint on cards, like let's call it, like let's say Return of the Jedi figures, mint on card, it, you know, $90 is what they kind of go for ungraded, like for the entire item. And you're going to really double that price just to get it graded. It's again, it's going to be the same situation, I think, where there's going to be, you know, a lot of those figures are going to be kind of passed over and you're not really going to find much of that inventory online. And, you know, I'd be curious to see, like, let's say like a General Maydeen, a yellowed 85, right? Probably not going to be many people submitting that anymore, right? But 5 years from now, are the loose graded General Maydeens and the mint on card high grade General Maydeens going to be maybe more sought after just because there's less of them? I don't know. I mean, I guess it all depends on the character and the grade, but it just seems like it's getting cost prohibitive now for a lot of these items, especially with the market being what it is. It's a softer market, right? Prices have dropped by a good anywhere from 30% to 50%, depending on the item. And it just, you know, the economics don't really work, I think, for a lot of people, unless you're just collecting for yourself like I am.
There's a chance that it causes a false market on certain figures. So like you said, in 5 years, when the figures that are not being graded as much, that value can go up a lot higher because that you just can't find them right now. And if someone will overpay and spend more money on a Maydeen because it's just not being graded, when in reality we all know hit like the value of the figure has not gone up whatsoever.
Painted legs.
You know, there's also a chance that some figures it's just gonna, you know, create a false market.
So you're basically telling the world to start grading the Chewbaccas and the Maydeens and the Prune Faces.
And hold them.
And hold
them. Hold on to them.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, the argument can be made, right? I mean, you know, everyone's going to submit a high-grade Stormtrooper and a high-grade Princess Leia. And, you know, but, you know, it's just hard to find. If you're trying to complete your collection or you have a fetish, I mean, I've got 4 loose-graded General Maydeens. Why? I don't know, but you know, there's certain people that are variant collectors like me that like to have every kind of COO and, you know, paint variant and hair color variant and all that crap. So,
but how long are you going to hold on to them though? How long would you hold on to these figures? I mean, grade them and hold on to them until when? Until Star Wars is no longer liked by by our generation and then nobody cares?
Well, that's what I told Chris, is like, when's the right time to sell your collection? And I think right now is a bad time, but you know, I think we missed that window post COVID, right? That post COVID window where everything was just selling like for crazy money. But I mean, I just saw a beautiful AFA 80 32 back Luke Skywalker Bespin clear blister. I mean, it was perfect and it sold for like $1,000. I mean, you know, 6 or 9 months ago or a year ago, that was $1,500 to $1,800. You know, that's a big drop. And you're seeing that kind of across the board with a lot of the vintage stuff. So yeah. I think we're in a down part of the market. I know Heritage just had a big auction LCG auctions had a big auction of very high grade. I'm talking like Primo AFA 85 12 backs. I mean, really nice stuff. And they all sold for, I'd say, 50 to 60% off. I mean, it was pretty incredible to see the price differences.
Someone said that Chris for 2023 actually sold more than Hicks. Is that true?
It might be.
It might be. It actually might be true.
And the reason is because he actually prices it to like now his price, not like last year's price.
And he doesn't have a buyer and seller.
Hakes is an auction though, right? So the buyers are driving the market there.
Yeah.
So they're bidding on whatever.
You need to remember when you're in a market that's hot and stuff is selling, if an item is worth $300, you can technically list it for $325 and maybe even get $350 because the market's so hot and they want that item that you can probably push it and someone will overspend. When you're in a down market and an item is $300, nobody is spending $300. They want to spend $250 because they're predicting in a few more months it's going to go down to $250. So that they're buying right now with the intention of it going to go down, and then they're going to be right at the price of where it's worth in a few months. None of the groups are doing that. And that's the problem with all of the groups, with a lot of the sellers. They're just not doing that. We do that. That's why our stuff is selling.
Yeah. Well, let me just say real quick though, there's a big difference between people who sell, you know, as part of their income, whether it's just part-time or not, and collectors who are just moving pieces of their collection, or they've upgraded, or they've bought a little small lot nearby and they kept some of, like, you know, I'm a collector. You know, Charles is a collector that does some selling. John has a toy store. Brandon's been doing a lot of selling lately, but he's a big time collector. Chris is become a full time seller. I haven't posted anything for sale in a while. Like, if I'm the guy in, you know, one of these Facebook groups that posts, you know, something, they don't know how to price it. Like, you know, they know what they paid for it and they're still stuck on that. They're probably not even trying to make a buck on it, but they have a hard time losing 25% on it. So there's a big difference between people who monitor the prices and know how to price it to move it, and people who are nostalgic and, you know, sentimental about it.
Yeah, but no one's really saying that. We're just saying that that's why the groups are dead.
They're full of collectors, you know.
That's why they're dead.
Because there's sellers in there. There's real sellers in there, but they have their own pages. They have whatnot. They have, you know, eBay. They you know, they do live sales, whatever. So.
I mean, like, even when it comes to, like, the auction groups, like, I really only follow Hakes. I don't really follow the other ones because they're not as big as Hakes. So when they sell stuff, then people can use the excuse, well, they're not really well-known. They're very small. People don't know about them. But when you start seeing the prices on Hakes, whether it goes up or down, that's when you really, like, oh, okay, I'm going to listen to this now.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, I want to throw up a couple of questions here and there. One question is kind of what we talked about already, but John, I don't know if you gave, you know, an official opinion. What's your opinion on the raised cost? And I'm not familiar, so I haven't graded stuff. The Collectors Club membership, I think that's what you guys have talked about before, but
that pissed
apparently
me
they're
off.
Taking that away.
Yep.
That pissed me off.
That's where you get a Charles, discount for a membership price, right?
Yeah, and Charles, you probably were the latest. Was the last person to have that membership out of all of us here.
He actually is the guy that asked you the question. His expired like last month.
James Gunther, yeah. He's a big grader.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was for a while too, but as my grading submissions tapered off, I mean, I think this whole year I've sent in like six items total. Maybe more, but not that much more. But yeah, I mean, for those that are big resellers, especially taking away the membership, I mean, you know, what was it? It was like $500 or so, and you got a 20% discount on your grading costs, and you got a couple of items submitted for quicker turnaround or loot, maybe a couple extra loot. Yeah, loose extra submissions. But I mean, honestly, if I'm at CAS, if I was running CAS, like Ross and those guys, I mean, I would have raised the prices too, because there's nobody else doing it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And I mean, and the fact that their turnaround times for loose submissions have gone, they got down to like 2.5-3 months for a little while there. And now they're back up to what you guys know better than me, 4 or 5 months at least. So
my last one was like 4 months. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're just trying to manage. To manage their inventory and, you know, backlog, so to speak, and that's all it really is. And you know, if AFA comes back now, if AFA comes back out with submissions, loose submissions that are 20% less than CAS, I can guarantee you that CAS will drop their prices. But I doubt that happens. I bet AFA comes right back out with very similar pricing, and it wouldn't surprise me honestly if CAS had some inside information already. I mean, this is me speculating, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they've already got some internal kind of dialogue from somebody at AFA to get an idea of where they're going to be pricing stuff. Because, you know, from CAS's perspective, okay, let's say that AFA comes back out with loose grading again in 2 months. Do you really want to raise your prices for 2 months and then all of a sudden drop them back down again? It would just be kind of a bad look. So, maybe, you know, again, that's me speculating. To me, I think they probably have a good idea that AFA, when they do come back, those prices are going to be just as high as theirs.
And I want to respond to something that Chris said. Chris is speaking, you know, as a collector and on behalf of a collector. So collectors are not going to want to hear me say this, but raising the price on mocks whenever they did last, I mean, you compare the loose figures to the mocks. The loose figures, way more of a pain in the butt to grade. We know that. We've heard that. But the mocks, the graded mocks, that's where the huge value increase is. Yeah. You have a nice figure that might be worth $100. You get it graded. Maybe it's worth $175, you know, maybe close to $200. You grade a mock that's, you know, a $1,000 mock. You grade it and it gets a decent grade. It's going to be worth a lot more. So they're kind of in the right to raise the price, whatever it was, $10, $15, because the return on the investment is there. More than it is with the loose.
But that's not the point of doing it, though. You don't raise something because they're speculating a return on price. That like, they have nothing to actually do with that. They're just providing a service, and they charge you for the service. They should not charge you for what you may get in return.
No, but they have to value their service. They have to determine what is the value of the service on Mox, and of course, that's a wide range.
And their service on Mox hasn't changed. It's the same standard size cases on majority of them, slapping four sides and the two shells in the middle. I mean, like of the inside to hold them in. That's it. Nothing's changed.
They're doing what?
It's the inflation too.
Some sellers used to do last year is they would sell like a mint figure right off the card, and they would sell it for $150 when it's like a $30 figure, because it will be an 85 grade. Like, yeah, you can't do that. It's the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a question. I had flashed it up a few minutes ago in the modern realm.
Never.
Now, Rula, you've done a bunch of this, grading VC figures, grading some modern stuff. How do you know when it's the right time or when the figure is the right figure? Obviously, you're judging the quality in front of your face, but if you have a really nice piece, when do you know it's the right time for that piece to go in and get graded? Is it a matter of watching the market before you decide?
I think so. I think that's probably, I was getting ready to say that. And the modern market is a lot trickier. I've basically broke even, or, you know, even sold some at a loss just to get them off my hands, 'cause I got too much crap. So I sold a lot of those, but you know, if you got an error card, like a missed card, definitely get it graded, because people want to know it's legit. I just sold a bunch of my missed cards for like big money. And, but you know, the vintage collection market, like everything else, is down too. And so I think that the number of items that I would consider grade worthy, quote unquote, is pretty, it's a lot smaller than it used to be. I mean, it used to be, if you had a CAS 95 of pretty much any decent character, for a vintage collection figure, it would sell for, you know, a $10 or $20 or $30 profit. Nowadays, that's not the case. I think for the most part, it's a very much more select group. But there are figures that where it does make a lot of sense, though, like, you know, VC-44 Luke Dagobah Landing. It's like a $95 mock in near mint plus condition when it's ungraded. But I just sold both of mine for, like, you know, $200 to $250 after grading. So, you know, there are certain figures, and for me, it was more just for my own collection. But, you know, my taste changed and I realized that I had too much stuff. So I sold a lot of them. And that's what I mainly learned with the modern items, though, is that it's a much more select kind of group of items that you probably want to bother grading versus just putting in a star case.
The thing that scares me the most, and I don't know if they do this in a lot of the Hasbro lines, the different lines, but the re-releases is what scares me, because when I was collecting modern, I mean, I had figures that were $90, you know, $75, $80, you know, mint on card. And you're like, wow, okay, this is at the top of, you know, the line so far, the top of this, you know, this, not wave, but series before they would change the packaging. And then they come and release it as a, you know, as a, whatever they called it, you know, throwback, archive, you know, edition. And that killed the figure. Like, that figure that was $120 is now, you know, $45. And if you had graded, you know.
But look at the Ahsoka is the best example of that, right? VC-102, the original Ahsoka, I mean, for a time there, they were selling, you know, in high grade, they were selling for, you know, $1,300, $1,500. I think I even saw $1,800 for some of those sales. And now you can, I mean, I just sold my VC-102 Ahsoka US card for like $300. I mean, I lost
so much money as the middleman with you and Chris.
I lost the most. Chris is the only one that won. He's the only one that won in that whole thing.
I got hosed. I actually got it and I sold it. I lost so much money.
Right. Yeah, and then I traded an overstock Lily Letty non-sonic welded prune face, an extremely hard item to get that at the time was probably worth, I don't know, $300 to $500. Now they go for like $1,000, $1,500, and I get some VC-102 Ahsoka out of it that I just sold for like $300. So you're welcome,
thanks,
Chris.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome. You're welcome, buddy.
Why'd you sell it anyway? You already had one?
No, I just knew he liked prune face, and I was just trying to do him a favor.
He was being nice.
Why did you sell the Ahsoka, I'm saying?
Oh, just because I don't have a lot of room, and so a lot of the vintage collection I just decided to part with and reinvest into more expensive items.
Here's a question I have for you. Have you switched your focus to mainly comics? Like, are you 75% comics and only a quarter Star Wars toys, or
It's a good question. I go in waves. Chris knows this. I mean, I go in a wave where I went through a time period this year from April to August where I didn't buy one single action figure. Not one. I just only bought high grade, you know,
from big boy April comic. To August.
That's a long time for me.
That's four and a half months.
That's a long time. For me, that's a long time. That's a long time.
How many cards did you buy during that period?
Well, hold on. Let's just kick it back, because at the ending of last year, he said that when the year started in January, that he was going to slow down, take a break, do this, do that. January to March, he went completely ballistic. He went the opposite. I think he bought like 19 mocks in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I did. It's actually true. Like January to March,
you went nuts.
I have a spreadsheet where I keep track of everything that I buy for the year, because I do like a year in review kind of series of videos for my channel. And it was terrifying. I would occasionally send the list to Chris. It was like 22 mint on card, vintage Kenner and tri logos, all like really big boy stuff. Another like 30 loose graded and baggies and Spanish figures and Lily Letty. I mean, it was like, I went nuts for like 3 months, and I was like, okay, I can't do that anymore. So instead, I just instead started buying, you know, big boy comics, Star Wars 1, Star Wars 42, Star Wars. I mean, these are like really, really big books. And so to answer your question, I have no idea. I mean, you could ask me a month from now and I might buy 10 more mint on cards. I have no idea. It just depends. I go on vendors, man.
He bought a Peruvian Darth Vader on card. He brought a Guatemalan R2-D2.
It's exactly what John does. He goes on benders. So when he's in comics, he goes nuts on comics, and then he stops for like months. Then he's on
I just bought a $1,000 comic right before we got on. I just bought a $1,000 comic on eBay on an auction. Ooh,
good Lord.
I don't know if I can I share? Can I share this?
Yeah.
Is there a way to share content? Because I got it up here. I already uploaded it. How do I do it?
Oh, you're talking about on the I thought you were gonna hold
it up. Like the media. Is there a way for me to share?
Yeah, which one is it? It's the
ASM 41.
I don't want to pick the wrong one. I see two.
That's it.
It's the one on the left.
Yeah. So there's a 1966 book, white pages, very hard to get white pages for these 1966. It's the first appearance of the Rhino, the very first appearance. And
the first time I've ever heard of the Rhino.
You never heard of the Rhino before?
No. What? But a 7.5 is really high for that error comic.
I mean, right? 9.8. I mean, you know me, I usually collect 9.8s. A 9.8 for this is like $30,000. I'm not buying a 9.8.
Yeah.
But to get it in a 7.5 is pretty awesome. So yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Well, so when you show me comic books that are like this, like vintage, I can look at this and actually have like respect for it because I'm like, it's cool. I like it. But when you show me all that modern garbage from like 2010 or on, I look at it. I just like this. I'm going to spit on it.
Well, that's, like, I mean, that's kind of how my collecting tastes have changed, Chris. I mean, I don't get a lot of money. You know, I got the Ahsoka this modern one, but it's $60, right? I'm not really spending big boy money on them.
No, but when I look at the $60 comic, I start laughing. When I look at this for $1,000, and I'm like, I actually like this for $1,000.
It's a good book.
When I look at this, I remember I sent John a photo of one that I got graded, and I think I got like a 7.9 or like an 8.2. John was like, that is a piece of trash. Why'd you send it in for grading? This is a 7.5. This to me is a piece of junk.
It's a 1966. It's a 1966 book, man, versus years that were like 5 years ago.
This book was 2022. And?
Anyway,
far fewer of these in circulation.
So somebody tell me something about the Rhino. I wasn't kidding. I haven't heard
the Rhino. He's like one of the main villains in the Spider-Man universe.
He's in the movie.
What movie?
They make
the amazing Spider-Man with James Garfield.
The Rhino is in that.
He's also going to be in the new Kraven movie. He's in the new Kraven movie too. That's
coming. Oh man. I don't understand how that's possible.
Shane, they made action figures for this guy.
Read the first page for us, John. Open the book and read the first page.
Yeah. let me hear his introduction. Read it to us.
Paul Giamatti played him in the Spider-Man movie.
You guys are making this up.
No. Yeah.
My whole deal with grading, and I'm along the lines of Chris here with, see, that looks nice to grade, and it's an old comic, and it's helping the preservation of it. My whole deal is that, you know, I'll go and find a box of comics, and I have no idea what's worth what. You know, I could easily walk away from thousands of dollars and have no idea I was doing it.
Yeah,
so what's hard. Yeah, do you have any, like, websites or anything that you just search, like, first appearances? And
yeah, I mean, I think over time, I've only been collecting comics for about 3 years, and I mean, I've put together a pretty awesome list of, but I think for me, it's just, I use keycollectorcomics.com and I use gocollect.com. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look up any book from any time period and it'll tell you everything you need to know about it, the prices, all that good stuff. And, and just over time you start to recognize, you know, which ones are rare and which ones are garbage and pretty rare, much anything rare.
Do they filter those by like key issues and stuff like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's everything. Every book is on Go Collect, but only the key issues are on Key Collector Comics.
Okay.
I can't stand when Brandon does it. He does it for like so long where it's like so uncomfortable. Like you're looking at him and like he's still doing it.
All right. So you said that the comic market has gone down as well.
Yeah. In general, I mean, the book, like I just showed you from the Silver Age, you know, 50s to the 60s, the Silver Age has held up really well. Golden Age has held up really well just because they're very few in number, right? I mean, some of these books are like 10, you know, 10 that exist. I mean, it's really hard to find. But the modern books, Bronze Age, Copper Age, modern, they've all gotten hit pretty hard. So
garbage.
It's just garbage age.
It should be called the garbage age.
There's still good books in each age, but you have to be very selective.
No.
What are some of the factors of that, do you think? Is it the same as we're seeing with the action figures?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the 9-8, you know, for modern books, you'd look at the 9-8 ratio, right? So, like, Amazing Spider-Man 300 is what, from 85, 86? It's not that old. Mm-hmm. But the 9.8 ratio is, like, less than 5%. So less than 5% of books that have been submitted to CGC have a 9.8. That's why it's a $3,000 comic, right? Plus, it's also the first appearance of Venom. But then you have stuff like Charles, where you could probably set it on fire and no one's going to care what he's got.
Remember when we all blacked out last time we talked, John, and we ordered these comics and then we got them in the mail. We had no idea we ordered them. Do you remember us ordering these? Because we don't.
I mean,
you know, it happens. We all make mistakes.
Like when he showed the Mandalorian comic, no matter how cool the front cover may be, when he showed it and said it was $60, the first thing I said was, wow, you just lit $60 on fire, because you're probably never going to get $60 back on it. It's probably not going to go up. It's just a pile of trash. When he showed me the Rhino for $1,000, the first thing I said is, it's a cool maybe investment, because I still think whenever he sells it, it's still going to hold its value.
Yeah, and that's basically what I've done with my collecting on comics is I've focused, while the market is way down like this, I'm able to get books that I never could have afforded a year and a half ago. I mean, prices are down 30 to 70% depending on the item. So, and that's why I got Star Wars 1, you know, I got Star Wars 42, the first Boba Fett, some of those big books that were going for 30 to 50% higher than where they are now. So
now the reason why some of these comics, these older comics, endure is because they become iconic characters usually and stuff like that. Do you see any modern comics becoming like an iconic status within the, you know, in the future, 20, 25 years from now?
John, we already tried. Yeah,
they always do.
We bought the ones he told us to.
Bo-Katan, we bought 100 of them.
Well, I mean, John, to answer your question, yes, it happens because, I mean, you look at Ultimate Fallout 4, right? That's the first appearance of Miles Morales. We got Miles Morales video games. We got Miles Morales movies. And that comic was just like all these other modern comics. It just happens to be, you know, now he's become kind of a cultural symbol, right? And that's why the book is $1,000. And so at one point, somebody was able to buy that for $3, just like all these others. So the newsstand edition of that, there's one that just got listed on Instagram for $35,000. I mean, it's so rare versus the direct edition.
It's insane.
So, you know, it's going to happen. There are going to be books that are being released today that 10 years from now are going to be highly desired, but what they are, who knows? And that's why you don't, I mean, at least for me now, I might get something like this $60 book just because I like it. I'm not expecting it to go up in value, but it just looks awesome. It was only $60. That's grading costs, right?
Yeah.
It costs $35 to grade it plus shipping two in there. I'm not paying anything for it.
It looks really awesome in his case inside of his closet.
I've had it out on display. It's been very nice. I've gotten my $60 value out of it.
Is that why you recommended Dr. Aphra to everybody? It's because it looked cool.
Well, no, I really think she's got a long term future. I mean, I just bought her 1 in 25 variant for $1,000.
It's a long game.
I mean, I really think that she's going to do something long term, and that $1,000 investment will either turn out to be a really bad idea, or there's going to be a Dr. Aphra series at some point, and it's going to blow up. And who knows? I don't really care either way. I don't care. I just love Dr. Aphra, man. She's awesome.
Right.